Health, yeah. This isn't your average health talk. We're asking those awkward questions for you. We're digging into the health, wellness, and medical news that matters to you. We're cutting through the clickbait with facts you can trust. From uncomfortable questions to breakthrough science, it's a dose of real news you can use. This is Health Yeah with Monica Robbins, your prescription for life.
Dr. Matt, thank you so much for joining us. So tell us who you are and what you do.
So I'm Dr. Lori Matt Amra. I'm a medical oncologist. I work at Cleveland Clinic Akron General, and I am a community oncologist. So I see all types of cancer, both blood and solid tumors.
So it's Lung Cancer Awareness Month. How often do you see those types of cancers?
Unfortunately, I see a lot of lung cancer every single day, multiple times a day, multiple different patients. So we actually see it more than breast, ovarian, colon, and some other cancers combined. So it's very, very popular cancer, unfortunately.
But when people think of lung cancer, they typically think, oh, that only happens to smokers.
Yeah, unfortunately, that is not the case. We see a lot of patients who get diagnosed with lung cancer and have never been a smoker. They have no exposure potentially. And the cause is really unknown. There's a lot of theories, but we see a lot of people who have never touched a cigarette in their life.
So what are the theories?
Some more common ones like secondhand exposure, someone who's been exposed to asbestos or other chemicals. We have been seeing a lot more cancers being diagnosed with the thought of maybe radon or pollution or some other environmental factor that unfortunately we just can't pin down.
Are you seeing younger patients, or is lung cancer typically something that affects somebody older?
So we see a mix of both. However, we are seeing much more younger patients being diagnosed with lung cancer these days and just cancer in general. I know in my service this past couple of weeks, I've seen people younger than I who've been diagnosed with metastatic cancers of all different types. So there's really been a focus from a researcher's perspective, and I have multiple colleagues who are, you know, looking into those specific studies to see if there is a specific trigger, you know, why women, why younger age, why men of a younger age. It's been a very big concern for us as a cancer community. We're just seeing so much of it in younger people.
Is this more because of awareness or more because there's a very real problem out there?
I think you're actually seeing some of both, to be honest with you. I think more people are now aware, and some of the younger generation is seeing maybe some of the mistakes that the older generation made as far as maybe not being as transparent with their doctors, not going to the doctors as often, or not seeking care. We're seeing a lot more people who are coming in and having been diagnosed because they came in for a cough that may or may not have been related, or some other factor that starts the ball rolling for them. I think at the same time too, it is actually a problem. And so researchers are trying to figure out if there is something that they can do to correct it or stop it from happening. So I know they're working on that.
I know there's no definitive link, but we do know that the younger generation is more into vaping. And now that marijuana is legal, is there any potential connection with that?
I mean, you do see lung damage with people who are vaping or using alternatives to nicotine or cigarettes. So you are seeing more lung damage. Again, like you mentioned, you can't really place the connection. It's not cause and effect at this point, but there are researchers who are looking into that to see if they can. But the lung damage is real. I mean, if you were to take a biopsy from someone who's had, non-smoker, never exposed, no vaping, no marijuana use to someone who has, you can see lung changes. And so anytime you're changing the DNA, I mean, you are changing and putting yourself at risk for cancer.
When you find someone younger who gets diagnosed with something like lung cancer, is it usually found by accident, or are they specifically going in because they're having a lung issue?
I think I've seen both, to be honest with you, and I can't tell you which one's more prevalent. I am seeing a lot of patients who are coming in for a stomach ache, and they're found to have a bigger cancer, for example, or someone has something that's bothering them that they didn't think twice about. And then all of a sudden someone's like, you know, we should probably take a picture. They take a picture and find just widespread disease. I have some patients who, despite all the education and awareness and all of the media, social media, all the outlets that they can see, they're still getting a lump and ignoring it. So I think there's some of both, but I think more of it has been lately more on accident, or some doctors are not really listening to the patients when they're complaining of something. And so we're running into that where some people have had to see 2, 3, 4 doctors to sort of get their complaints addressed and come to find out it's a real cancer.
Are you concerned that because patients are younger, that perhaps doctors aren't listening to them saying that, oh, you're too young to have cancer, especially something like lung cancer?
Yeah, I think that is a real concern. I would tell you the oncology community, I think, has done an amazing job trying to convince physicians, or at least educate physicians, for lack of a better description, that lung cancer or cancer in general can happen to anyone. It does not matter how old you are, how young you are. It doesn't matter what exposures you've had or not had. So I do think people are doing better by taking younger patients seriously. I think all of the stories that we've been highlighting for patients who are younger and getting diagnosed with cancer, I think that is also helping as well. Previously, it was a huge problem. Physicians would just kind of blow off someone, and not because they're being mean or hurtful to them, but they just didn't really feel that they could get a cancer. And it's turning out that it's real, unfortunately.
If lung cancer is so much more prevalent than all the other cancers you had mentioned, should we be routinely screening for this?
So as of right now, I mean, most of the task forces, so AACP, so the American College of Physicians, the USPSTF, they have not come out with any different changes to their screening recommendations. I do think that people are working on coming up with those suggestions. At the same time, you know, someone's coming into the office, if they were to come and see me, most of the time they're coming to me already diagnosed. But if I'm getting someone and they have just an unexplained cough, it doesn't hurt to catch a quick chest x-ray to see if you see something. I think further evaluation from there kind of just depends on what the person is complaining of. But the hard part is they don't really know why some of this is happening. So to set a screening protocol for someone is really hard when you don't know exactly what you're trying to screen someone for or what exposures they've had.
What are the symptoms you wish people would pay attention to and know that, listen, you really need to go talk to your doctor about this and ask for potentially a screening?
I think if you're talking about lung cancer in particular, I think, you know, looking for a cough that isn't going away. Are you losing weight? Are you coughing up specks of blood or coughing up blood? Those are emergency things, especially the blood. If you're having chest discomfort, if you could normally walk 100 or 200 feet upstairs and not feel short of breath and all of a sudden feeling that way, those are all really good signs and symptoms to say, hey, doc, this isn't going well. I don't feel well. I've been coughing for 2 or 3 weeks or whatever the situation is. And then have your doctor take it from there.
Lung Cancer Awareness Month. You know, we've done this for so many years. We ask people to stop smoking this month. Is it working?
I mean, there are people that are quitting. I think, unfortunately, a lot of the patients I see, and especially in my line of work from an oncologist perspective, I'm seeing them quit after they've been diagnosed. However, I am seeing other family members see what's happening to the person that they're taking care of or their loved one and going, you know what? This is a bad idea. I should quit too. So I am seeing successes there. With us here at Cleveland Clinic Akron General, we have a smoking cessation program that if anybody's coming into our clinic, we are referring them over to have a conversation with our smoking cessation nurses to see what resources would be capable of them to qualify for, what they can use to help quit smoking. So I think the encouragement is there. A lot of people are choosing other options. So they may be giving up cigarettes, but they're switching to vaping instead, which we're trying to sort of get them to quit altogether. But I think any step is a small step, even if it's in the right direction. I tell a lot of people, don't quit cold turkey. It's not going to work as well as you expect it to. But we talk to them about how they can take away a cigarette a day, or take away 2 cigarettes a week. And then you kind of get them to a point where they can quit and go, oh, that wasn't that bad. So we are seeing more of it. I think it's just more encouragement as well, and the doctor being supportive of the patient quitting too.
I did the math. I figured if the average smoker can eventually quit, they could save about $3,000 a year. That's a lot of money.
It is true. And I mentioned that to all of my patients. Hey, you could save X number of dollars based on how much you smoke. And they kind of go, oh, wow, Dr. Matt, I never thought of it that way.
Is there anything that you're looking forward to sooner rather than later?
You know, I think I always look forward to being able to tell someone, hey, your cancer has this molecular abnormality, but good news, I have a drug to go with it. I think that helps me a lot rather than being able to go in to see a patient and say, well, you know, I don't really have anything to offer. All of the new treatments that are coming down the pipelines, if they come to fruition, get FDA approved, those will be really helpful to us, especially in the community setting where we are seeing all different types of patients with cancer, all different types of lung cancer, and each person is specific and different and their cancer is different. So any way that we can personalize it and try to help treat them as best as we can makes all the difference in the world.
Are there any local clinical trials that you would encourage patients to get involved with?
Oh, absolutely. So here at Akron General, we have a very good list of clinical trials open. We also work in conjunction with Cleveland Clinic main campus. So there are a lot of trials in a lot of different facilities in the area. I mean, you have three big names with Cleveland Clinic, Metro, and UH. You know, close by, you also have very good programs in Michigan and Pennsylvania to help explore any of those clinical trials. There are also multiple around the country. So it really involves you having a conversation with your doctor. They can look at all of the clinical trial availability throughout the country, even worldwide, actually, and find something that fits your specific type of cancer. And then if you have the means or able to travel to go to wherever that trial may be, if it's not local, you have those resources available. So it's never a bad thing to have your oncologist look for that as well.
Any final thoughts? What would you like people to know?
You know, I just want people to be aware that lung cancer can happen to anyone, cancer in general as well. And I think highlighting all of the cancers that we do every single month, we highlight a different cancer and talk about awareness for that cancer. You know, I want people to understand that cancer doctors are looking into new ways to treat the patient and to help treat them. But at the same time, the best thing they can do is talk to their doctor about what's going on with them, look into prevention, and please quit smoking.
Doctor, thank you so much for the clarity and the hope.
Yes, absolutely, Monica. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for listening to Health Yeah. Remember, you can watch the video versions of the episodes on YouTube at Monica Robbins' channel. Subscribe and follow my work and never miss an episode at authory.com/Monica Robbins. Find me on X and Instagram at Monica Robbins, and I'm also on Blue Sky Social at monicarobbins.bsky.social. And you can follow me on Facebook at Monica Robbins, WKYC in parentheses. Wishing you the best of health, and stay tuned for your next dose of information.
Monica Robbins is not a medical doctor. All content presented in this program is for informational purposes only. It is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice and should not be relied on as health or personal advice. Always seek the guidance of your personal doctor or qualified healthcare professional with any questions regarding your health or medical condition. Thanks for listening to Health Yeah with Monica Robbins from WKYC Studios. Subscribe now so you never miss an update and find more on everything you heard right here on WKYC.com, the WKYC app, and WKYC Plus on your smart TV.